Hello, this is Rita Schulte, and I'll be reading the Bloomington Pantograph excerpts from Saturday, November 7th, Sunday, November 8th, and Monday, November 9th. We'll begin with Saturday's paper on page A3, the local and state section. The first article, its headline, Senator, Look at Replacing Madigan. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth said it's time to consider someone else for state lawmaker Michael Madigan's jobs as Democratic Party chair and Illinois House Speaker. Duckworth, who is a contender to be former Vice President Joe Biden's running mate, is the latest high-profile Illinois Democrat since Tuesday's election to carefully signal it's time the longtime Chicago lawmaker gives up his party post after some key losses at the ballot box. U.S. Senator Dick Durbin of Springfield, in an interview Wednesday on WTTW Channel 11, suggested that Democratic candidates suffered this election because of Madigan. On Thursday, Governor J.B. Pritzker said yes when asked whether he agreed with Durbin that the state party needs a new leadership. As chairman, Madigan has been able to amass a huge campaign war chest that has for years allowed him to determine which Democratic candidates and causes succeed. Madigan, however, said in a Thursday statement that he's not going anywhere. Madigan has been under fire by some within his own party since federal prosecutors in July released a deferred prosecution agreement in which ComEd admitted awarding jobs, payments, and contracts to Madigan associates in an attempt to win his support for favorable legislations. Republicans use it as a cudgel in the run-up to Tuesday's election, linking Madigan to Democratic candidates and causes on the ballot. When it was over, Pritzker lost his signature ballot initiative to enact a graduated income tax, and Democratic Supreme Court Justice Thomas Kilbride lost a bid for another 10 years on the bench. For his part, Madigan was reelected Tuesday without opposition to his 26th term in the House. Pointing to the scandal, Duckworth said Democrats should consider new leadership at the state party and Illinois House. The ongoing investigation surrounding Speaker Madigan is an unnecessary distraction and makes it harder to carry out the work of helping the people of Illinois, Duckworth said in a statement. As our nation hopefully embarks on a brighter path with a new president, the Illinois Democratic Party and the Illinois House of Representatives should consider new leadership to continue the progress we've made at the state level and build on it. In January, Madigan's House peers will vote on the chamber's leader, and he's already facing competition for the job. Meanwhile, Cook County Assessor Fritz Kagi, who unseated Madigan ally Joe Berrios in 2018 and whose property tax reform measures hit a roadblock in the Madigan-controlled House last year, was more direct in his call for new party leadership. In a statement, Kagi said it's time for Speaker Madigan to step down as chair of the Democratic Party of Illinois. Now more than ever, we need new, reformed-minded leadership that can drive an agenda for working families. Also from page A3, headline is, Illinois Facebook users may be eligible for payment. Facial recognition lawsuit deal may net $200 to $400 per user. If you have lived in Illinois in the last 9 years and have a Facebook account, money could be coming your way. The social media giant is reaching out in a wake of a class action lawsuit that claimed Facebook violated Illinois law by using its facial recognition software without user consent. While not admitting liability, Facebook has settled the lawsuit and set up a process to pay affected users between $200 and $400 each. To be eligible to claim the money, users must have lived in Illinois for at least 6 months at any time since June 7, 2011. Facebook said it created a $650 million settlement fund, and the actual payment amount will depend on the number of claims. Facebook said the fund also will be used to cover the cost of notifying potential claimants, to pay lawyers, and to cover certain taxes. The settlement also requires Facebook to turn off the facial recognition setting and disable face templates for affected users unless they opt back in. Claims may be submitted at Facebook ipclassaction.com. Claim forms are also available by calling 844-799-2417. The deadline to file a claim is November 23rd. The website again is spelled all one word, FACEBOOKBIPACLASSACTION.com. From page A6, Schaefer elected to McLean County Board. Democratic challenger Jackie Gunderson conceded to Republican incumbent Susan Schaefer Friday morning, ending the race for a seat on the McLean County Board in District 9. Schaefer ended the race with a 503-vote lead over Gunderson, according to Bloomington Election Commission unofficial results. Now that I have heard more details from the Bloomington Election Commission, we know that there are 336 outstanding ballots from District 9, so not enough to close the gap between Susan and me, Gunderson said in a statement to the Pantograph on Friday. Gunderson thanked those who supported her during the campaign and congratulated Schaefer on retaining her seat. Schaefer received 4,890 votes, or 52.71% of ballots cast in Bloomington, and Gunderson received 4,387 votes, or 47.29%. Schaefer did not immediately respond to an interview request from the Pantograph. A race for a seat on the McLean County Board in District 7 continues, with just 11 votes separating Republican incumbent Jacob Beard and Democrat challenger Val Lehman. Unofficial results show Beard holding a narrow lead over Lehman with 4,053 votes, or 47.99%, and Lehman receiving 4,042 votes, or 47.86%. Bloomington Election Commission Executive Director Tim Mitchell said Friday the commission is still waiting on 1,703 vote-by-mail ballots and that there are 13 provisional ballots outstanding. Also from page A6, headline reads, Chenoa Man Killed in Crash on U.S. 24. A 32-year-old Chenoa man died from multiple blunt injuries following a two-vehicle crash near Chenoa Thursday evening. Sean M. Moore was identified as the driver by McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder. Yoder said at 5:06 p.m., her office was notified of a fatal crash between a semi-tractor trailer and a sport utility vehicle on U.S. 24 near the intersection of North 3050 East Road near Chenoa. Moore was the driver and sole occupant of the sport utility vehicle and was pronounced deceased at the scene. Yoder said in a statement, toxicology reports are pending. The incident remains under investigation by the McLean County Coroner's Office and the Illinois State Police. And a quick note from Saturday's paper, Section D2, Cardiovascular Institute reopens. The OSF Healthcare Cardiovascular Office in Streeter has reopened after closing temporarily earlier this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The office, located on the third floor of the OSF Healthcare Center for Streeter Health, 111 Spring Street, is open for appointments 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Mondays and Wednesdays. three cardiologists, Drs. Yoesh Agrawal, James Matthew, and Salman Vahid, provide care on a rotating basis. Appointments may be scheduled at 309-624-6111. Again, that's at the OSF Healthcare Cardiovascular Institute office in Streeter. From page one of Sunday's paper, from October 8th, the headline reads, Partisan Sadness or Joy in Bloomington Normal. Agree or disagree, Bloomington Normal residents had plenty to say with the history-making announcement Saturday that Joe Biden had secured enough projected electoral votes to become president-elect, bringing impromptu celebrations, but also persistent calls that the declaration is premature. GOP President Donald Trump offered no concession speech after television networks declared his Democratic opponent the winner following a bitterly fought campaign amid a global pandemic. The president has indicated a legal challenge is probable. Biden, who would be the oldest man ever sworn into the office, won both Illinois and McLean County. The chairwoman of the county Democratic Party said she was overwhelmed Saturday morning. My first reaction is unbelievable relief, Nikita Richards told the Pantograph. The American people have been under the thumb of this oppressive administration for 4 long years. We've been under an immense amount of stress, from economic strife to social strife to racial equality strife. The American people can breathe. I'm elated. Biden's running mate, California U.S. Senator Kamala Harris, is the first woman and the first person of color elected vice president of the United States. She has Black and South Asian heritage. It gives me such relief to know that we will be able to continue our work, carrying out our values with a president who shares those values, says Richards, who is the first Black woman to chair the local party. We will be very clear that this presidential election doesn't erase everything. It is not a quick fix, and it doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. But at least we have a fighting chance to restore much of what was at risk for being lost. McLean County Republican Party Chairman County Beard said she's standing by her president, asking for patience until all of the votes are counted and certified. The news media are not the ones who declared the winner in an election, she told the Pantograph. That responsibility goes to the voters, so they can say all they want to say, but it is not official, and in my mind, they are taking great liberties in swaying public opinion by making such declarations when there are many challenges still underway, such as voter recounts and other steps that would call into question whether or not the legal ballots are counted. We want our legal ballots counted. Shortly before 10:30 a.m. Saturday, major networks began calling the race for Biden after receiving new vote totals for Pennsylvania. CNN, for one, declared Biden the winner in the state, pushing him over the 270 electoral votes needed to defeat Trump. Other networks followed. I believe the grassroots voters should hope that we are not allowing the media to make these decisions when it is actually the vote that counts, Beard said. Trump said his campaign will start bringing the case to court starting on Monday. Joe Alexander, a Clinton resident, echoed Beard in saying that it's premature to call the election and agreed there are several steps that have to be taken before declaring a winner. There are examples of many stories of possible voting fraud, Alexander said. All legal voters should be counted, and all illegal votes should not. Similar claims were made Saturday at rallies in support of the president, held in cities from Atlanta and Tallahassee to Austin, Bismarck, Boise, and Phoenix. Crowds in support of Biden gathered in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, and other cities. Reagan Rinchisu and Jamie Behrens stood outside of the McLean County Museum of History in Bloomington early Saturday afternoon, holding signs reading, "You're fired, and you can't fix stupid, but we did vote it out." Rinchiuso described Biden's victory as a relief. "I didn't realize how tense I was until they announced that they called for Biden. And now I just feel a little lighter," Rinchiuso said. A movement toward justice. A few blocks away, Bloomington Alderman Jen Carrillo spoke to a large crowd holding Black Lives Matter signs and Biden flags during a gathering at Withers Park on Saturday. Carrillo said the event was not meant as a rally for Biden, but a farewell to Trump and a warm welcome to Biden. She said that no specific organizations were hosting the event and that it was just meant to be a celebration among a group of community members. "We just dislike Donald Trump and we're happy he's out of a job," Carrillo said. Keith Moldovan, a Bloomington resident who attended the demonstration, held a sign that read, "I need to be able to tell my children I did not stay silent. I'm voted, and I'm glad he's out of there," Moldovan said. Linda Foster, president of the Bloomington Normal Branch of the NAACP, said the Saturday announcement was a win for the Black community. She said the organization had a strong turnout effort. "For generations, African Americans have endured the brutal hand of its systemic racism and discrimination. This is more than a win. This is a movement toward justice. We will hold all elected officials equally accountable." While the group does not support any specific political party, the branch acknowledged the importance of this historic movement in time, said NAACP First Vice President and NAACP State Officer Dr. Carla Campbell Jackson. "The criticality of this moment is undeniable, as our beloved American history books are now forever altered. The NAACP proudly acknowledges and applauds the worth and essence of the African-American community and salute this momentous occasion as the arc of justice bends toward equality for all in spite of continued racial disparities." Richard said, "It gives us a sense of hope. All of our hard work has paid off, and I couldn't be prouder to be the leader of this local party that has pulled together in the midst of a pandemic to push for change," she said. "This means so much." From page A3, the headline reads, "Winds of Change, Wind Farm Critics Elected to DeWitt County Board." The DeWitt County Board will have a new look when it reorganizes next month, and that could spell some trouble for the recently approved Alta Farms 2 wind farm project. The $300 million project was approved 6-5 in July, with one board member, Cole Ritter, not attending the meeting because of a conflict of interest with the project. Ritter lost his bid to retain his seat in the March primary, finishing last in a four-person race for three spots on the ballot. On Tuesday, his seat and three others were filled by newcomers, each endorsed by opponents of the wind farm and running on a platform against the project. During construction of the wind farm, slated for completion next year, a number of conditions and plans must still be approved by the full board, which now includes Aaron Campmeyer, Buck Carter, Jamie Prestigard, Ann Megan Myers, Scott Nimmo, Camille Redman, and Lance Reese, who all voted in favor of the project in July, will lose their seats. "I think the residents have sent a resounding vote of no confidence in how the board has currently conducted business as it relates to this wind project in the last two general elections," Kammeyer said. "It's time we start to listen to the community as a whole and act as a servant, as servant leaders of our residents. We need to ensure that not only is the economic opportunities for the county a factor in our decision, but we're also considering our residents' safety, that our first responders are trained to deal with issues pertaining to the wind farm, and the county is not left with a financial burden long after the wind farm development is over." "The citizens of DeWitt County overwhelmingly voted to bring change to the county board," said Andrea Rhodes, a DeWitt County resident and vocal opponent of the wind farm. "The incumbents could not hide from how they ignored the best interest of their constituents or their blatant disregard of their own zoning ordinance by approving the Alta 2 wind farm special use permit. Representatives from Enel Energy, owners of the wind farm, declined comment. Each turbine must have a building permit. Building permits are not approved by the county board, though, only by the zoning officer. These permits must also have the necessary information as required by the conditions of the special use permit." The vote in July reversed an earlier decision by the board, which voted 6-5 with one abstention, to deny the special use permit for the project in April 2019. Board members cited the application was incomplete. The developers resubmitted an application, but still drew the same criticism. It still is an incomplete application and should not have been moved forward by the present board, Carter said. Board Chairman Dave Newberg retained his seat, but is likely to face a challenge for the chairman's seat next year when the board reorganizes. The board and the wind farm developers also face a challenge in courts. So far, two lawsuits have been filed, including one by the village of Wapella, seeking an injunction to stop the construction of the project, and another by opponents of the project. Court dates have not yet been set. I'm in agreement with our advisory boards that the special use permit application submitted by the developer does not meet the requirements set forth in our wind ordinance and feel it should not have been approved, Meyer said. How we move ahead may determine by the pending litigation. Prestigard agrees that the pending litigation may determine the next steps of the Alta 2 wind farm's wind project. The passing of an incomplete special use permit application back in July sends a message to others that our community's ordinances do not need to be strictly followed, he said. From page A5 of Sunday's paper, the headline reads, Illinois Senators Praise Biden Victory. More than 12 years after he was introduced as Barack Obama's running mate in Springfield, Joe Biden last week won Illinois as a presidential candidate. On Saturday, TV networks declared he had enough electoral college votes to be called president-elect. The state's two U.S. senators moved Saturday to call all lawmakers to work with the new Biden administration. President-elect Joe Biden is a public servant in the best sense of the term, said U.S. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois, the party's second-ranking member in the Senate. In a statement, he has taken the strength and wisdom he's learned from his family and his own experiences with loss and hardship, and has used those lessons to give millions of Americans reasons to hope and ways to heal. The networks on Saturday called the race for Biden as President Donald Trump, and some of his supporters say the declaration is premature. U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat of Illinois, on Saturday said those efforts will fail. Donald Trump's meritless contradictory statements and legal filings will not succeed, and they will not change the facts. When all the ballots are counted, Joe Biden will have won more votes than any presidential candidate in history. He won by a historic margin, and he won states long believed to be Republican strongholds that Donald Trump would easily win, she said in a statement. She said the election was a testament to the strength and integrity of the nation's democratic process, and now is the moment for the true leaders in the Republican Party to condemn any and all efforts to undermine confidence in the legitimacy of these results, said Durbin. The last 4 years did not break America, but revealed what was already broken. Now we must come together to heal some of the terrible wounds of our past and together create a better, more just, more prosperous America, not just for ourselves, but for our children and grandchildren. Durbin, who won re-election on Tuesday, spent about a dozen years in the Senate with Biden of Delaware, a senator from 1973 to 2009. Then-candidate Obama, on a sweltering day in August 2008, held a rally in front of the old state capitol in Springfield to present Biden as his vice presidential pick. Obama, during the event, called Biden that rare mix for decades. He has brought change to Washington, but Washington hasn't changed him. In Chicago, which launched Obama's political career, cheers and car horns erupted as the Saturday results were announced. Matt Tomby, a clinical assistant professor at the University of Chicago College of Pharmacy, lives in Oak Park with his wife and children and is a longtime Democrat. My biggest emotions right now are relief and excitement and optimism, he said, moments after media outlets declared Biden the winner. I've been so pessimistic for the last 4 years. It's good to have something to look forward to now. Tomby, 49, says he feels it will be a process for the entire country to acknowledge Biden as the winner. I feel like a lot of the right wing is not going to consider it fair, he said, especially since it appears Biden's victory in Pennsylvania was the biggest deciding factor. Governor J.B. Pritzker, a Democrat, who has repeatedly clashed with the Trump administration on COVID response, in a tweet said, "America elected a president and vice president who will lead with compassion, restore dignity to the office, and give us hope for a brighter future. Congratulations to @JoeBiden and @KamalaHarris on this historic victory. We're all excited for the better days ahead." U.S. Representative Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Kankakee, congratulated Biden and Harris on Twitter. "Our nation deserves two competing parties who can work together when possible and compete honorably when not," Kinzinger tweeted. And from page D5, quick clean, 7 2-minute habits that will keep your home tidy all week. Habit number one, keep cleaning supplies on hand. Cleaning is much more tolerable when you don't have to hunt down supplies. Stocking bathrooms, kitchens, and closets with some basic cleaning tools will make giving the sink or counter a quick swipe nearly effortless. Easy access to these supplies make procrastination harder to justify. Taking care of messes as they happen will save you from having to scrub some mysterious stuck-on stain later. Focus on your high-traffic areas. Maintaining high traffic areas on a daily basis will ultimately prevent the spread of dirt and dust throughout the rest of the house. Entryways are a great place to start. Having a dedicated area for shoes will prevent mud and other undesirable things from being tracked through the house. Try sweeping or vacuuming these high traffic areas on a daily or twice daily basis to stop dirt from traveling. Number three, don't leave a room empty-handed. As you go through your week, it's natural for things to get out of place. A good way of keeping your home tidy is by making sure everything gets put away. The simplest way to do this is by doing a quick scan before you move from one room to the other. If there's anything out of place, bring it with you and put it back where it belongs. Doing this each time you leave a room will make cleanup a snap. Take stock of your refrigerator is number four. Being conscious of what's in your refrigerator will not only help you on your trips to the grocery store, but will prevent spoilage from food piling up. Keeping stock of your refrigerator means not knowing what's in it, but also how long each item has been there. Number five, clean up as you cook. There's often a few moments of downtime while you cook. Take advantage of these short breaks to load the dishwasher or wash kitchen tools that you're finished using. Deal with mail immediately. Immediately get rid of junk mail each day. That will keep papers from piling up. Take a few minutes to go through your mail each day and throw out the junk so you don't have a looming pile to tackle later on. Number seven, hang towels to dry. Leaving a wet towel bunched up on the floor or counter is not only potentially harmful for the surface, but also creates a breeding ground for bacteria. When a towel is being used multiple times, it needs to properly air dry between uses. Hanging your bath and kitchen towels too dry will not only make your home look visually cleaner, but will also keep funky smells at bay and prevent the spread of germs. This has been part one of excerpts from the Bloomington Pantograph for Saturday, November 7th, Sunday, November 8th, and Monday, November 9th. I will be back in just a few moments with part two. Please stay tuned.